that happened to Annette. And when she got back, I thought, oh, I better call her and check out how she's doing. It sounds pretty terrible. So she shared with me these details about what had gone on. But the thing that she shared with me that was really, really cool is she didn't just say, oh, my foot got broken. It was terrible. She said, actually, there's more to the story than just my foot. There's a story of how blessed I was through all of this. And what happened is there was somebody on the trip, you know, she does this horrible accident to her foot, gets it broken, her toes are broken, it's just really terrible. And you know what happens when you go overseas and you get injured? What you have to deal with? The insurance people, right? It's the worst. Who's been sick overseas? Yeah, okay. Just a couple of you know the trauma of having to go back and forth to the medical insurance people. But it's worse, I am assured, when there is only one spot that gets cell phone reception in the area that you're in. And you have a broken foot and you're stuck in bed. So Annette said to me, you know, Becky, the real part of the story that I wanted to share with you was that there was a hero who came to my rescue. And that hero took my, you know, the cell phone, went to the reception spot, rang up. Whenever there was a question, had to hang up, go back to Annette, ask Annette, get the answer, go back, call them up again, and did this over and over. And she said, you know, it was just such a blessing to me. And then after that, she had, you know, her shifts in the dentistry thing that they were doing, and two of the youth stepped up to cover her shifts so that she could also rest and know that she hadn't, you know, let the team down. And I thought, isn't this awesome that such a gruesome story of pain and suffering could actually turn into a story of blessing? And I was just really, really proud of our congregation and the team that went, that they dealt with it so well that she could come away feeling like that. Now, today we're looking at blessing. So today is our first one in our series of our habits that we're trying to adopt as Christians. And today I loved Annette's story because it fitted so well with what we're going to talk about, how we bless others and who we are as a blessed people. And the reason that we bless people and that blessing is such an important part of what we do is because it's who we are. It's the foundational in who we are as the people of God. And we're going to look at that in Genesis now. So before we do, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are blessed to be a blessing. Lord, that is who we are. And Lord, this morning we pray that your Holy Spirit rest upon each one of us, encouraging us, whispering to us who we are as your people and what our role is in this world, in this church and in this community. And Lord, we just pray that you speak straight to our hearts, Lord, that we can be open to your leading. Amen. So as we all know, when we're reading the Bible, context is essential. So we're going to cover a bit of that. So first of all, we know when we started off in the garden, we started as a blessed people. Okay, I'm here because this is the start. I'm going to go across. In case you're wondering why on earth I've got my hand raised. So we start in the garden. We're in a blessed state. We've got this beautiful united relationship with God. He walks in the garden with us. That's how it was. Every need was met and there was a purpose. Adam and Eve were there to administer the garden, look after every part of creation in the way that God would have. But we know that what came next was that Adam and Eve wanted to be God and their blessed state suffered. They were sent out of the garden. They were out of that beautiful, united relationship with God. And they were sent to roam around. And so life became very, very hard and very, very cruel for them. From then on, the story in Genesis 4 to 11 becomes one of sin and judgment. People are always doing the wrong things. And judgment comes. And then you get that little sprinkling of redemption. But from chapter 12, we get a whole new story coming in. We get the story of God's redemption. God plans to deal with this endless cycle of sin and judgment through a promise he gives. And that promise was the covenant that he gave to Abraham. And if you were listening before, you could have heard the word blessing repeated over and over throughout this covenant. God tells Abram to leave his homeland in Haran and to go to the land that God is going to show him. And the purpose is to make a whole new people group through which the redemption of the world will come about. Essentially, God is going to bless Abraham and his people, and in turn, they are going to bless the rest of the world. So at the center of who we are as the people of God today sits this blessed to be a blessing. That is who we are as the people of God, and that's what we're going to look at today. And throughout the history of the people of God, only Jesus has fulfilled this covenant fully. Only he truly understood the blessing that God had given to him, and then through that was able to fully bless the rest of the world through his death and resurrection. And it's by following Jesus that we now partake in this blessing, in this beautiful, united relationship with God. And it's through this relationship with Jesus that we reach out and bless others. We are blessed to be a blessing. Through us, all the nations will be blessed. And how are they to be blessed? Through our ministry of reconciliation, bringing the world back to its creator. So I want to start today with that first part, that we are blessed by God. As the people of God or the church, we are blessed, aren't we? We enjoy this unique saving relationship with our creator. We're different. We're special, we are chosen, and we're set apart from the rest of the world. We're living in the kingdom of God here and now. We've entered into eternal life already. Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful thought? We don't need to fear death because we are with God already. And despite the fallen and broken nature of the world, church is supposed to be a foretaste of heaven, right? We are the kingdom here and now. So what we do, we're supposed to be showing people what heaven will be like. I love how Mike was talking about heaven this morning. What's it going to be like? But I suspect that often we don't feel like this is the case, right? You get into a conflict with someone at church, you suck sitting beside someone who sings out a tune, And you think, really? Is this really what heaven is like? You know, I don't believe that. But I think perhaps it's because we don't accept the blessing which God has given to us. I think that might be part of it. We don't act the way in which we should because we don't fully feel the way in which we should. We're not open. We're a broken people. It's hard to be open to accept all that God has to give to us. It says in Ephesians 1 that through Jesus, we have every spiritual blessing. We have this. We don't need to keep asking for something more because we have every spiritual blessing. But have we truly accepted that blessing? That's what I wonder. Do you know deep down that you are blessed with every spiritual blessing? And do you live your life like that? I know I need to dwell on it a lot more myself. And it's from this eternal blessing which Jesus gives us that we bless others. If we're foreshadowing heaven then as a church, we need to be a place where we build each other up, a place that's fun to come together. When we meet together, it's fun, it's joyful, it's wonderful, a place where there's no needs because needs are met. We're looking around, constantly seeing how can I help someone? Is somebody in need? And acting on that. It should be a place where we're being Jesus to each other. We're praying for one another. We're eating with one another. We're grieving with one another when something bad goes wrong. We're celebrating with one another when things go well. And I wonder, how are we doing this? And I think here at GPC, we're doing a great job. We're doing a great job. But we can still keep doing it better, can't we? We've got to think, do we really feel loved and blessed by one another? How can I go out and make somebody else feel loved and blessed in this congregation today? And when we do that, it really helps the way we feel about each other. It makes us more of a family, doesn't it? And it makes us more attractive to those people out there who look in and think, you know what? What a wonderful bunch of people who really care. I want to be part of that bunch of people. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, it says, so encourage each other to build each other up, just as you are already doing. And I felt that was speaking straight to our church. Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. In the Bells book, if you've got one, if you haven't, I will tell you what it says. It talks about blessing and the etymology of the word, and it says that blessing is like adding strength to someone's arm. So we wonder, how do we do that practically here at GPC, in our church community, and then out in the community? Well, I was thinking about this, and I thought, have you read the 5 Love Languages book? Who's read that? Give me a show of hands. Okay, a few of you. Cool. In that book, it talks about how we give and receive love. And it's actually pretty much the same as how you bless someone, because loving them is blessing them. So I'm going to go through a couple of those today, which I think are really important. Now, one of the first ones that I think is really, really impactful, possibly one of the most important ones, is words of affirmation, they call it. And it's when we say nice things to each other, to put simply. But it's not going, oh, hey, you know, oh, Peter, I love your shoes today, you know, looking great. It's not quite like that. What it is when you say to someone, for example, Rachel, I love when you sing. I love when I see you leading worship because I can see the Holy Spirit working in you and drawing you to God, and it makes me draw to God, draw closer to God too. And I think it's wonderful. You really do a fabulous job. That's the kind of thing that we need to be doing to each other more and more. I remember one day I had a really terrible week at a previous church, and I was feeling really down, you know, and you start thinking, oh no, am I doing the right thing? What am I doing? And this note comes under my door, and it says, remember, you are awesome. What a difference that made to me. When I was starting to doubt myself, it really showed me, actually, God is trying to tell me that I'm valuable, that I should keep going. It made such a difference to my day. And do you know what? It's free to do this. Like, how amazing is that? Everything in life costs money, but not this. It is free to affirm someone. It is free to build someone up. Why don't we do it more often? Why don't we do it more often? When you go out of your way to affirm people outside of the church, that also speaks volumes. When I ran new mums and babies group, it was a pretty amazing chance where women are sort of at their most vulnerable. And we would have mums come in and they're beside themselves. They're trying to either, it's always feeding or making your child sleep. Feeding and sleeping are the two biggies for new mums. And there would be mums who were just in tears. You know, I can't do this. What's wrong with me? I'm a terrible mother. Why isn't my child sleeping? Why isn't my child eating? And when I would see one of our facilitators come alongside that mum and say to them, you know, I see how much you love your baby. You are trying so hard. I see the sacrifices you're making to, you know, let this little human being thrive. I just see it. I see how much you love that baby. Go easy on yourself. And you just see that mum transform. Someone has noticed her struggle. Someone sees the pain she's going through, and someone sees the love she has. It's affirming in her, she is a good mum. And do you know how wonderful that gift is to give to someone? And again, it's free. And when we do this to people outside the church, we're showing them that Jesus sees them. Jesus cares about them. We're showing them how much Jesus loves them and what a privilege it is for us to bring that love to them, to bless them like that. Showing them what the kingdom of God is like, our little foreshadowing of heaven. Now, the other ways to bless people are through acts of service that we heard in our other reading. We can grab that up on the screen, please. You've heard it before, so I'm not going to read through it, but it's a good example of looking around to see needs and then filling them. Philippians tells us to put the interests of others before our own interests. But sometimes we get too absorbed in our own worlds. And sometimes that's justified. If we've got something serious going on, we're just kind of in survival mode, right? It's hard to think past yourself. But as Christians, we need to be always looking out when we're not in that survival mode. We need to be looking out at others and seeing, how can I help? Who needs a glass of water? Who needs a hug? Who needs my help? Helping others can also help ourselves. It really reminds us how blessed we are when we bless somebody else. And I reckon here at GPC, we do this pretty well. I've heard of stories of people who were in financial hardship, someone gave them some money. I've heard, I've experienced the meal rosters that get done when someone needs some help. The blessing it is to receive a hot dinner when you've been trying to lug boxes around all day, or when someone's passed away and you just can't think about what to get for dinner. Isn't it amazing that we have people who will teach our children so that we can be in here and listen to a sermon? Incredibly blessed in this community. But I wonder how we can do that even more. How can we do this blessing thing as part of who we are, not just separate acts that we do, but it becomes a lifestyle. It becomes who we are as the people of God. We move out in that sense of always looking to bless. That's our nature, wanting to bless. My friend moved from New Zealand to the States. It was a sad loss because she's a wonderful woman. And she moved over to Minnesota. And a little while ago, she had to renew the visas. Her husband's working visa needed an alteration. So they thought, we'll come back to New Zealand, have a family holiday. And you might not all be aware of the rhetoric that's going on in the States. So usually her visa would take 3 to 5 days to process, and they can come back whenever they want. But it started dragging out. With all the politics going on, visas were getting harder to get processed, and immigration was getting clamped down on. And she's a wonderful woman who contributes a lot to the community she's in. And she started to feel really uncomfortable, and she started to feel like a real outsider and like she wasn't welcome. And as the process dragged on and on, she was getting more and more anxious about going back. And she shared a little bit of this on Facebook with her friends. And when finally they got the news that her visa had been approved and the family could go back, they received a whole flurry of messages through her messenger thing saying, can we cook you meals? Can we mow your lawns? What can we do to help you, when you get back? And when they turned up back in Minnesota, they said there was this big welcome home in chalk on their driveway. Someone had mowed their lawns and someone turned up straight away with a hot meal. Those small acts of kindness made my friend feel welcome again. It made her feel blessed to be there when she'd had so much doubt. Simple acts of kindness can speak volumes, and they don't cost us a lot to do. The other way is to bless. As you can see up there, there's the five of those love languages. Quality time, taking the time to listen to someone. Someone was saying, we're all so busy in life, running around. Who actually stops and listens and asks questions and then still listens? Maybe it's spending time with your kids with the cell phones turned off. Maybe it's physical touch. Someone just needs a hug. We all know how important it is in hospitals to hold someone's hand when they're sick. Gift giving, often a gift, it's not just that you're giving a gift, isn't that nice? It's because you've seen inside somebody else who they are and what it is that they would like to receive because you care that much. It speaks of your love for them. And I'm sure that we all do these things. I'm sure you do. I talk to a lot of you, and I know how wonderful all of you are. But are we doing it all the time? Is it part of who we are? Is it part of our DNA here at GPC to always be looking out for needs, to always be trying to fill them, to always be blessing those within here and those outside? The Bowles book, it tells us that we should be doing, this is its recommendation, its challenge to us, is to bless one person every week inside the church. Bless one person every week outside the church, and then have one that you bless that be either inside or outside the church. So you're doing three a week. And you might think, oh, that sounds like so much hard work. But if blessing someone is honestly just saying what I said to Rachel before, not that hard. It's totally something that we can do. Totally something we can do. I think the challenge is to look out and see the needs and see the places where we can bless, where it will mean the most, where we can show Christ's love the most and have the most impact. That's a real challenge and a fun one that we can take on. And I feel that if we do this, if we take this on as a challenge to make it habitual as who we are, it really will help us all to feel more loved and blessed, more open to receiving that blessing from God, and more open to sharing it with others. And when we do that, when we go out of our way to help somebody in the community, that's when they start questioning, why on earth are you taking the time to listen to the story? Why are you always there for me? I barely know you. Why are you doing these kind things for me? And that's when we can be ready with our answer. This is why it's so important to remember who we are as the people of God, blessed to be a blessing. If we're living in a quiet Christian bubble with no non-Christian contact, we're not living up to the fullness of who we are. We've got those two parts. We are blessed. We have this beautiful relationship with God in order that we then go out and be a blessing. I want us to get out of our comfort zones. I want us to go, you know, some of us might go, look, I don't have any non-Christian friends. My challenge is to go out and make some. You know, get out there, get in a community group, go out and talk to one of the parents of your kids' friends at school or something. There's always someone out. It might be someone just walks down the street that you can chat to. There's always someone that we can connect with and that we can do that because we want to love them into the kingdom of God. The ultimate blessing is to be united with God and enter into his eternal kingdom. So to be a real blessing to someone, we must be praying for them and hoping that they will come to know Jesus. Each time we bless them, we must do it to love them into the kingdom. As it says in Isaiah 52:7, I'll read, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, 'Your God reigns.'" The reconciliation of the world to God rests upon our shoulders. That is our mission as the people of God. So let's be purposeful and let's really do that. So as we finish up, I'm going to summarize. So as the blessed people of God here in Glendowie, it's our job to accept the blessings of God and to move within that blessing to bless others. We want to accept that deep love that God has for us, to be open to that, to let it penetrate our defenses, to truly know that blessing so that then we can bless others. But today, perhaps you don't feel that you are blessed. Perhaps that's a real struggle for you. And I want all of us to close our eyes now. And if that is a struggle for you, I ask you to pray in silence along with me now. God, your word tells me that you have blessed me with every spiritual blessing, but sometimes I just don't feel that way. Lord, I invite your Holy Spirit to come and open my heart. Help me to receive that blessing today. Amen. We're not to forget that we are blessed to be a blessing, and we need to be Jesus to one another in here first, before we be a blessing to those outside. So what I want to have happen now is, can we get the pieces of paper? Did everyone get a piece of paper when they came in today? Wave them up to me. Excellent. And what we're going to do is you're going to take out that pen and you are going to think of one person in this congregation that you want to say something affirming to, and you're going to write it down. So take a moment to pray. Ask God, who do I want to bless this morning? And write down that blessing. And I want you to hand it to somebody in here before you leave today. So let's all spend some time doing that. And finally, we need to remember that we are always to look out for the needs of strangers, to be Jesus to them, and to love them into our community here, into a relationship with the living God. So let's spend that time now blessing someone in the congregation, and that gets one off your checklist for this week.